What's going on, y'all? It's your boy Houston here to tell you about Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many, many more platforms. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Now back to the show.
Bouncing with that drop.
KCP in the middle. Bounce, Larry.
There! Throw that baby down. Oh my goodness.
What hard? Are you kidding? With some anger.
How did Kyrie get out of that double team?
With the head fake. What a move by Hakeem Olajuwon.
Levine, he goes right.
Oh! Does anybody know how to post videos?
Welcome back in to the Drop Step Podcast. NBA season comes to a conclusion. Get ready for the 2020-21 campaign with the NBA draft coming up. We'll get into that. The NBA lost a lot of money, and they're going to have to do something specifically to get some of it back. I think they're going to do it. We'll get to that. And the Atlanta Hawks, are they going to trade or not trade somebody? We'll get to that. And then we'll have a little goat talk. Just to get it out of our systems. It's home team Brandon Leak. It's Book the Hook. It's Houston. It's the B-Dog Brandon Harper. Fellas, how y'all doing this day?
No, you addressed me as champion.
I did not see you on that court.
You didn't see me on this court, but you saw me in the support section.
Where the ring at?
Huh?
Where the ring
it's
at?
It's in the mail. It's on the way.
I didn't see you on my screen on one of them little Zoom calls. It's on
the way. Can I ask a question? I've never asked. You're from Atlanta, right?
I am.
You're a Rams fan and a Lakers fan.
And I've given my reasoning for both. So I started watching basketball when I was 95, 96. I was 5, 6 years old. So I had always seen tapes on Kobe, you know, coming from Lower Marion and boom, boom, boom. I said, this dude is something serious. And my pops would always tell me about, you know, this dude, Kobe Bryant, boom, boom, you know, he a Jordan guy. Respects Kobe, but he's a Jordan guy. And so I know that Kobe was drafted by Charlotte. Now, he didn't dribble a ball for Charlotte. And so my thing was, Kobe's my guy. So when Kobe went to the Lakers, Kobe was my guy, and the Lakers just became my team in 95, 96. So ever since then, I've just been rolling with them for the last, what was that, 25 years?
I'm about to say, how old are you now?
30.
Yeah.
So I've been with them for the last 25.
So you could have been a Hornets fan.
God works in mysterious ways, don't it? God works in mysterious. So it started off me following Kobe, and then it turned into me having the love for the Los Angeles Lakers. So for the last 25, 26 years, of my 30 years of living, I've been a Laker fan.
There it is. So we got an answer. Congratulations to you, Laker Nation, LeBron James. He pulled it off in the bubble. They deserve a lot of credit because everybody gave a lot of sacrifice. What's going on in 2020 with the COVID-19 protocols, a pandemic still around, and they did everything they had to do to keep the season going, so they needed the credit as well deserved. Now that we're into the offseason, now what as free agency will kick off a little bit later this year. The NBA draft will be November 18th, and it looks like a delay to the start of the regular season. They're saying mid-January. I'll believe that when I see it. I'm thinking it's probably going to be February before the NBA really gets up and running again.
I can't wait. I mean, I hope it's January. I mean, if it's February, fine. But I cannot wait for basketball season to return for the simple fact that, you know, we've all been, you know, at State Farm Arena as part of the media just to see what they're going to do this coming up season with fans, what they're going to do with the media. I miss being in State Farm Arena. I miss, you know, watching the Hawks development. I just miss being in State Farm and seeing the environment, the game environment, just seeing basketball live in person. The bubble was great. The NBA did a great job. They're a progressive league. They did what other leagues couldn't. But it's time for us to get back and seeing these guys in person, talking to these guys in person, socially distanced, obviously, but just getting back to the way things were or some remnants of it.
I hope we can get it in January, but I'm leaning with you two home team. I think we're probably going to see it somewhere around February, but it's going to be a long couple months, man. That was an amazing product that they put out on the court. Congratulations to the Lakers, Laker Nation. They brought it home. They did what they said they were going to do. They completed the task. I think that the Miami Heat gave them as good of a fight as anybody could have given them a fight. Mm-hmm. Anybody coming out of the East, I think that's as good as it could have gotten. I'm ready for a great offseason. Got a lot of chips to fall, a lot of dominoes to fall. So ready for the next one. Let's do it again.
I think it's going to be somewhere around February too. But my mind then goes to, well, how is this season really going to look? Is it going to be a shortened season? Are they going to try extend it into the summer? How will it affect the start of next season? Because, you know, we've even talked on this show in episodes past about, you know, possibly the season being starting later anyways, like starting around Christmas time. Is that what this is going to end up affecting? Being it that if you try to get a full 82-game season come for next year, how is that going to work in the time frame that you have?
The NBA season is usually how long? 7 months?
Mm-hmm.
So if it starts in February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September.
We're looking at September.
So my thing is, okay, if you were to end it in August or September, you could still start it at restart it at Christmas.
Do they have to play the 82 games? Do you truncate the season a little bit, you know, with COVID, not knowing if we'll have a vaccine, to make sure you have enough for makeup games, that kind of thing? You're not going to be able to have a bubble. You're not going to get these guys stay in the bubble, I don't think, 3 more minutes, let alone 3 more months. So you're going to have to find a way to, you know, play the game and keep people safe. Do you have to do that 82 times is interesting to me to see if they'll try to run the full thing.
I can see them shaving off 10 games. I can see them going from, you go from an 82-game schedule to a 72-game schedule. And, you're going to have more back-to-backs, obviously. You're not going to have a lot of space in between one game and another. Everybody's going to have to adjust once again. Now, you're not in the bubble. You're back in your normal environments. You're going to be traveling from city to city. But you're going to have a more condensed season to where – your recovery process from game to game may not be as vast. And, I mean,
That's my whole point. Like, when you start adding in those type of factors, how are players really going to accept this? Because, for one, we're talking about already, all right, the season ending in September, hopefully getting started in December. Or it's season ending in September or possibly even October. Getting started in December, you're not giving whoever's making it to the finals, you're not giving them anywhere near as much of a break as you were giving them before. Team travel, now that comes back into play. So we're looking at, and then we've been trying to get rid of the back-to-back games or, you know, having so many games throughout a week. You're going to have to end up going back to that system where you now have 3 games in a row, you know, on a home stay. Or if you're on a visit trip, you're having to go back-to-back-to-back. I don't see them wanting to do that. Like I said, they don't want to be in the bubble for another 3 minutes. So how? I don't see it. 72 games, that still seems like a whole hell of a lot to me to try and get these to try and keep them healthy as well. And like you said, now we got to factor in if somebody gets sick, because this ain't like an NFL roster or something where it takes so many players for you to now affect the course of a game. 2-3 players go down and you're already shifting games around.
Well, Adam Silver did already say that they would not stop play for the Olympics. So they're holding the Tokyo Olympics next year, Summer Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
And he already said that they will not stop play for the Tokyo Olympics. So I think that right there kind of gives you a blueprint of how and when the season will go. Either they'll stop before the Olympics and then let players decide to play in the Olympics if they want to, or they're going to play throughout the Olympics and players will play in the NBA where they're contractually obligated. So I think that we're going to get a nice chunk of a season. I don't know how long it'll be. It'll probably I could see somewhere around 60 to 72 games, something like that, and then rolling it. I mean, because that kind of takes care of both situations. You know, at that point, you can stretch it out over 60 games, you know, and not have to worry about the virus nearly as much, people getting hurt nearly as much, and you get the time off too. So
so it'll look more like a Major League like how Major League Baseball did it this past season, cutting off – well, not half, but, you know, a good chunk, not just like 10 games, but a good chunk of the season and then having these guys playing.
I can see it go exactly like that. Honestly, I could see them doing an NBA regular season and then the playoffs. You go into a bubble. You go into a regional bubble for the playoffs, and I think that solves a lot of problems. It didn't work the best for baseball, you know, but I can see the NBA taking that exact same blueprint, implementing it, and executing it even better.
And I trust the NBA more to do it because we've already had a season under their belt where they've come up. They were the originators of it. They came up with it. They executed it flawlessly. Not one positive case. So,
but that's because of a bubble. Other sports just were not trying to have a bubble.
Maybe not.
So you can't.
Right, but really they had the option to do so. Was there ever an option on the table for other sports to do so? Because if you want to do something, you'll do it. Especially if you're talking about the safety of your players. So my thing is the NBA, obviously the numbers are in their favor because their rosters are not as big. So it's easier for them to do it. But for them to actually go forth and put forth the effort, put forth the money to actually keep the players safe and it turn out the way that it did, that's currency in your pocket when it comes to you moving forward, when it comes to protocol. Now your fan base and your players are much more comfortable with you because we've already done it versus in other sports where they're still scrambling around not knowing what they're doing. And now you got case after case after case after case popping up, and you got to readjust things on your schedule. That's mayhem.
The other thing is the NBA lost a lot of money, and now coming out reports they lost $700 million because fans could not come in, and that impacts everybody. The players, and down the road, somebody feels the sting of that because the players split revenue with ownership, and you don't have people coming in buying the tickets, paying for the parking, buying the jerseys, buying the popcorns and hot dog bundles. You're going to feel it. So they're going to find a way to figure out how to get some people, and I don't know how they're going to work it out because, you know, different things could be going on in different states as far as COVID-19 if we don't have a vaccine. You know, is there a percentage? Will it be deferring to local authorities and local municipalities on how to get people in a venue? Will they just set a blanket number, 50%, 45%, 30%, a number of thousands of people that they will have in? But they're going to find a way to get some people coming in there parking, buying some hot dogs and hamburgers.
There will be some checks to be cut. They're going to figure out a way. You know, that's a big number. So, you know, players aren't going to be happy about that revenue loss. Owners aren't going to be happy about that revenue loss. And it's they figured out some unique ways to continually get revenue generated. But, I mean, that's on the micro scale, you know, versus everything that they lost. So it's going to be interesting, you know. And then at that point, it becomes a discussion of health and safety versus money, you know, because how much health and safety are you willing to risk to generate money? And it's going to become a, you know, that was kind of the conversation with the NFL and Major League Baseball, you know, players saying these guys are just about a check. They're willing to sacrifice us to get us on the field just to get a check, you know. So it'll be real interesting to see that conversation going on in the NBA because it's much more of a players-driven league, you know. So there will be some pushback, I would imagine, somewhat, you know, but it's going to be interesting. But they will want to generate some revenue, though, for sure. That's without a doubt.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have some pushback, especially – I think things looked easier, quote unquote, you know, this past season because, okay, everybody goes into the bubble. You know, everybody's in the bubble, boom, boom, this is how we have it set up. But now that you're, you know, this season is ended, you're going into next season, it becomes a little bit more difficult about what you want to do now because, okay, like home team said, do you allow limited capacity in the arenas because you want that revenue back of some sort because you don't want to continue to lose money. And I expect that loss to be divvied up over so many years, you know, and that affects the salary cap. That affects how teams can go out and sign free agents, who they can sign, who they can re-sign. You know, the maximum amount of money a player who may be eligible for the max can make. It'll be interesting. But I expect the league to say, hey, we'll allow 30% capacity, you know. And, you know, around the league and we'll just play it from there and see how it goes. But there's no way in the world that you go a whole nother season without fans.
If they get 30, they better take it. If they get 30% capacity, they better take it and run with it because that would be money. You know, I wouldn't argue with it. You know, I better take that 30 and keep it moving.
Jersey's going to start looking like NASCARs.
That too.
Yeah.
That too.
They already got one logo on there from different businesses. It's going to be more of that, I think.
We have to go to a season or maybe two, you know, for that. You know, NBA likes their clean look and they want to sell their products and keep their brand out there. But you might have to just do some things differently like everybody else in the world is doing. Goat Talk, I know y'all were going back and forth. We'll do a small segment. Graze a little bit on some Goat Talk. LeBron James or Michael Jordan. I mean, look, man, there is no answer. People going to believe what they want to believe. LeBron is still playing. He still has time to add to his legacy, whatever it's going to end up being. And we don't know how long he wants to go. Does he want to do this till he's 39? Does he want to do this into his 40s? Does he have records and things he just wants to accumulate? We don't know what's on the long-term agenda for LeBron James in the latter part of his career. The people who saw Michael Jordan are never going to be swayed, just like the people who saw Kareem Abdul-Jabbar are never going to be swayed that Michael Jordan is the greatest basketball player of all time.
All right, see, this comes to me because I have been sitting back looking at my timeline, and I thought that there was no way to sway a Jordan fan. But what I'm seeing is a pretty stellar, you know, case for LeBron to be considered the GOAT. Now, I'm the most, probably one of the most indecisive people out there in the world. I can't pick between the two. You put vanilla and chocolate in front of me, hey, let's just get a swirl going. Right? That's just sorry, that
thank
came
you for that okay. phrase, but right. go, we got you. Go ahead.
You know, but seriously though, like you have a good argument for LeBron, you have a good argument for Jordan. To me, LeBron at this point, is it just that he's stuffing all the stats up to where it becomes you can't argue against it? Because to me, anybody who's saying that they're Team Jordan, it's solely based off of emotion at this point. Emotion and undefeated in the finals. Nothing else is relevant to his stats or to what his career was. It's only based off of how he made you feel, and he won 6 rings without losing any of them. That's it. But to me, that's a piss poor argument. Because
go ahead.
I'm gonna say this. I think Jordan's the GOAT. I grew up on MJ. I had VHSs of MJ. I'd come home from elementary school.
Emotion.
Very much so. Very much so. But to continue that, I also think that there is a conversation. I don't think that you can definitively say you're wrong. I will never be that guy. Your opinion is your opinion, and there's a conversation to be had. I will say this, that I respect older guys that are older than me, that grew up on older basketball players than even me. I respect when they say LeBron is the GOAT, because I wouldn't expect to hear that. You know, people older than me, I would think they're more cemented in their belief that it's either Jordan or Kareem or someone of that ilk. So when they say it's LeBron, I'm almost like, I respect you, old head, because I get that in that community, it's not always accepted to sway with the young dude. One thing I will say, a lot of people hold against LeBron is that he's lost in the finals so many times. And the one thing that I say against or back to that is LeBron got to the finals that many times to be able to lose in the finals that many times. Don't get me wrong. Jordan went up against some amazing Detroit teams, some amazing Boston teams, but he didn't make the finals. He lost in the playoffs earlier than those guys. You know, like, so it's – if you grade one for losing in the finals, you got to grade one just as hard for not making it to the finals. And that's really where everything kind of evens out to me. I don't want to jump out and say it's a tie, but I will say that LeBron has the availability and the opportunity to surpass Michael Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, Magic Johnson went to the finals 10 times.
Exactly. Didn't win all of them.
He won 5, but
exactly.
You know, he won, you know, a bunch of times, but he didn't win all 10 times.
Exactly.
So you could always go there, but the specter and just the reverence of Michael Jordan going 3 times for a three-peat, not
right,
losing.
Right.
Taking a couple of years off, coming back, three-peat, didn't lose.
It's clean math.
I like that.
It's clean. It's easy. I mean, that's all
it is. It's clean math. There's nothing to be said. There really is no challenge. There's no rebuttal because he's undefeated every time he went. So that's the one thing that a bunch of Jordan fans are going to say.
And I'm with Book. I have Jordan as the GOAT, but I can't. I'm at a point now where I'm not going to knock anybody who says LeBron, because I've had some old heads say they thought LeBron was to go, and I do have to take that into consideration, because that ain't – you don't hear that often.
No.
You don't hear old heads, you talking about 50 and up, talk about, man, that LeBron. You don't hear that a lot, right? Because they were raised in the smack dab in the era of Magic, Kareem, and then was able to see the transition to Jordan, you know, not, you know, Magic out and those other guys out. The thing about Jordan – And it probably is not fair to LeBron because he didn't play in that era or he didn't have this type of stigma around him. Jordan was the player in the midst of a big man league where if you didn't have a big man, you were not considered a championship contender. Point out blank. If you had a big man, you were a contender. Point blank, period, no matter what else you had around you.
He changed the game in that aspect.
He just transitioned everything to the point where a guard in a big man league not only dominated a big man league, but prevented Hall of Famers, prominent big men who we know should have a title or at least two. He has put frowns on a lot of people's faces. And anytime you bring up that name, Michael Jordan, to some of these guys, they may have good relationships with him now. But some of them boys still having nightmares because I'm a big man in this era and I'm supposed to have a ring. Hakeem Olajuwon may not have two if Jordan didn't retire. It's like Jordan said, you know what? I'm going to play baseball. Y'all go ahead and dilly-daddle the way y'all want to. Oh, I see you got two. Okay, I'm coming back. Because if it wasn't for me coming back, y'all probably – we'd be talking about Hakeem Olajuwon like we talking about Patrick Ewing.
Like we talk about Barton.
But we keep giving him 2 years off. He came back. And we're going to sit here and act like he wasn't balling when he came back. But
you're
then,
right.
But then sit there and be like, oh, well, he didn't have.
The Magic beat him. Yes, the Magic beat him.
He didn't have his NBA legs when he went up. Because, like, nah, I don't believe that. He was back with more than enough time, and he did pretty well throughout the rest of the time that we were saying Jordan is back. But as soon as he lost in the playoffs, it was, oh, he needed more time. Which one is it?
No.
Well, he didn't win that first year, but then after that, he won three more. Unbeaten. Unblemished, clean math.
I just think
I like that
one. In clean math.
Hashtag.
I just think
I cite like my sources.
And like I said,
it's clean math.
That take is probably not. It's not fair in LeBron's direction because obviously he can't hop in a time machine and say, "Man, let me go back to the '80s and the '90s. Let me do my thing." Because I'm pretty sure you know a lot of people have questions about what I don't have questions about what LeBron would do there. No one has any question about what prime Jordan would do in this era.
He'd shoot 100 free throws a game.
It'd be ridiculous.
So it's to be able to transcend an era like that as a guard when no one ever really thought about, like, look, I'm going to give me a big man. We're going to put some good to average guys around him. The big man is the focal point.
Yeah.
And we just going to roll with it.
But LeBron did that same thing coming into his own era. All right, because Jordan made the switch because when Jordan came in, it was, oh, you got to be a big. You got to be a big. Your star player has to be a center or at least a really good power forward. Then Jordan came along and you saw the switch to where now guard play was very important. Then LeBron came along and it became, oh, it's not about being a guard or a down or being down low. It's right. About being big and being able to do both. Like he made it to where now we had to respect a 6'8 guy who can handle the ball from one end of the court to the other. You weren't respecting those guys like that before him. So he essentially did the same thing. And here's the thing, like Jordan had to deal with all of that talent coming out of the Eastern Conference, you know, the Bad Boys, Pistons and all of them. But LeBron had to do that in the finals every year except for one. And lo and behold, he lost that one. So that's a good knock on him. He lost against the Mavericks. He shouldn't have lost to them. But anybody else he played against in the finals, those are Hall of Fame teams.
Oh, yeah, you can always look.
Those are the best of the best. That's a Spurs dynasty. That's a Warriors dynasty. A 73-9 Warriors team. Like, but people want to knock him for.
I'm not knocking him for it. I'm not. Because I think anytime you're in the finals, I think – every team that has made it to the finals, probably except for one, has at least two Hall of Famers on it. At least. Except for and only one that's an exception is the 04 Pistons.
The Pistons.
But every other team that I can remember that has made it to the finals has had at least one or even maybe two Hall of Famers or even future Hall of Famers on it. So you're going to – yeah, the Warriors were – they set the record. And so, yes, that is a definite notch in his belt for him to overcome that. But you're going to go up against a couple of Hall of Famers anytime you face somebody. That's just the way that the NBA has worked for the longest time.
So, but that's why to me – and let's be very clear. Like I said, I don't really pick one or the other. I'm a firm believer that when you go to a farm and you see a goat, there's another goat around there somewhere too. Like, there's plenty of goats floating around here. So why do we have to have – why is this conversation so intense when it comes to it?
You're right. There are multiple of the same animal. But it's like there are multiple lions roaming the savannah in Africa, but there's always the head of the pack.
The head of – okay, but the head of the pack would be the head of your team or maybe the head of your era, but there's still another pack on the other side of that desert over there that they got their king too.
And at times, their king would duke it out with another king to see who the king of it all.
This is why I love this whole conversation, just because, like, I'm the guy, whichever one you want to pick – you go as hard in that direction as you want to.
People aren't
and
changing.
I'll take the other one and go just as hard in the other direction. Because it's a conversation. I just love the debate. I think, honestly, we're lucky to be able to have this debate, you know, because all of us are kind of right there in the age where we've seen both of them, you know, and can put some, you know, some evidence on the table and you know, talk about why we feel the way we feel. And it's enough on the table that where we can split it up 50-50, and it's a 50-50 argument, in my opinion.
I just think that, you know, depending on where you were when you saw both of them in their primes and when they finished, that's who you're going to roll with. And I think LeBron still has work. He's got time.
Yeah.
If he retired today, he'd still be one of the greatest of all times.
Easily.
He still, I think, he won't say it, but he's got some things he wants to collect. He's,
oh, yeah.
He wants to own a bunch of playoff records and get a couple more titles before he's done, so the story is not over.
So after the finals, I don't know if you saw the picture talking about he's watching The Last Dance. Yes. He's talking about he's doing homework.
Yes.
Right.
Of course I saw it. Well, did you see the one where he posted with the Steve Kerr pass where Jordan passed it?
Yeah.
He was like, going at everybody that said right. Jordan wouldn't pass
yeah,
that.
I don't see yeah. I had a problem with people going at LeBron for that. He made the right basketball
for
play.
Sure.
But and see that's my thing. So at the end of the day, I guess let's wrap it up because you said we're gonna be quick.
He grazed long enough on the good.
right. To me, it's the difference between what you consider to be the greatest and what you consider to be the best. To me, LeBron is the best player we've ever seen in the league because of everything that he's able to do and has had to do. Jordan is the greatest because of a lot of the highlights and a lot of the emotions that he was able to invoke.
I will say this. And I've heard somebody say this, and I think I'll agree with it. LeBron James, and we're talking about just encompassing on and off the floor. LeBron James is probably the greatest superstar ever. When you take everything on the floor and you take it and combine it with everything off the floor,
oh, it's not even competition when you go at it like
but,
that.
But you have some right. people who won't even say that. I'll say that.
Okay.
He is the greatest superstar we've ever seen on and off the floor when it encompasses everything in its totality. And I don't think you can't have anybody really argue that.
Mm-mm. My opinion, I think LeBron James is the better player. Michael Jordan is the better winner.
There you go.
That's just my
opinion. That's a nice slice right there.
Okay.
Yeah, he's bigger. He gets more rebounds. He's a better passer. You know, the numbers and what he does, he can do a little bit more than Michael Jordan because of his sheer size. That being said, Michael Jordan, be a smaller player, was crafty, was tough enough defensively throughout the course of his career. He's the better winner. That's how I look at him. I've enjoyed watching both.
Slam the gavel. Bow.
Do we need to see a trade for the Atlanta Hawks, or do we need to leave them alone? I think this is an interesting year because people are going to have expectations after the Mavericks go to the playoffs. Now they're going to want Trey in the playoffs. I think we need to stay the course, and we don't need to see the Hawks do anything major or trade any other pieces unless you see some development towards the middle part of the season where it looks like, okay, we're about to shift the gear and go somewhere else. Other than that, let the development continue, and if you make it to the playoffs, fantastic. If you do not, so be it.
We got cheated out of 25 games of Trey and Collin. We really did get cheated out of that last year. So until we can really see what those two cornerstone pieces of our franchise look like for a full season, how can we make any moves? Like that's I feel like our hands are kind of tied behind our back still, because the first couple of years it was, they were very young. Okay, well, now they're 3 and 4 years into the league, so they're not very young anymore, but that but last year was cut from us. So it's nothing for me to be able to judge. And at the end of the day, who are you going to go out there and get that you feel like is going to make a big difference?
Right.
Nobody.
So why why make a move if there's nobody?
And that's exactly the point. You can't upgrade the team with the piece you need, with the player you need, so why do you need to do anything?
Well, but my thing is, we don't even know what piece or player we need at this point. We've got people at every position that should be able to do a pretty bang-up job, but we have not been able to see them all grow enough to say, okay, we need to get rid of him, or we can do something with him. We haven't been able to see that yet.
Yeah, because I was always on the side, well, lately I've been on the side of, dang, that number 6 pick just looked bad right now. You just wish if it was a top 3 pick, the conversation probably would be different because of what you could possibly get in return for it. But that just lets you know every time you slide further and further, that pick is slid further and further down, the less opportunity you have of actually getting something in return from a team if that's what you're going to dangle out to them. At this point in time, you might as well stand pat. You know, I've been on the trade to pick, but – I just don't know.
What
number
6
pick in the draft. I just don't know what you're going to get. Now, if it was a top 3, dangle it out there hard and see what you can get. But
I prefer them dangle the pick, not dangle any players, but dangle that pick out there and see what you – it's still a number 6. It's still a top 10.
You're right, but it just depends on what team and how they – see, different teams – look at and value the draft differently. And depending on what team looks at this draft to say, okay, do we value what the number 6 pick could possibly be in order to possibly trade this player for the number 6 pick or trade this net for the number 6 pick?
And do you get into the mode, for me, is do you pick the best player or you pick what you need? Because the Hawks need some shooters. They need some wings. But if Obi Toppin is sitting there and you need another power forward, what do you do with that? Now you got a log jam. How is he going to develop? Where does he go? Does he make it to the starting lineup? We just got a new center. Sometimes you can create more problems than solutions when you start just picking players and trying to stash them and hoping things will work out.
Why can't things be easy for Atlanta?
If Obi Toppin is there at 6, John Collins better start packing his bags. Like, because you know what you can get a return from flipping John Collins.
He won't make it to 6.
I don't think he will either. if you were to ask Travis Schlink right now, give him truth serum, ask him right now, he would tell you that he wants to trade the number 6 pick because the Hawks are so young. Putting another young cat in this mix doesn't help develop any of the young cats that are already here, and it doesn't really help develop the young cat that you would get at 6.
And at some point in time, You're gonna have to stop taking the young, and going out and getting a young yet veteran piece
exactly.
that can make a difference. At some point in time, I don't know when that time. It may be next year. It may not be this year. It may be next year. But at some point in time, people are gonna get restless with young guy. And you're gonna have to start making some moves for some guys that can actually make a difference. That's the only thing with me.
It's kind of like the Minnesota Timberwolves. Like, they have been perpetually young guy, young guy, young guy, young guy. They finally hit on one of the young guys, Karl-Anthony Towns, and then kept drafting young guy, young guy, young guy. Then they flipped some of those young guys for, like you said, a young guy but with some veteran presence in D'Angelo Russell. So I think that's the type of blueprint that we have to be on. We've compiled all of these young guys. All of these cats not going to make it throughout their contract. You know, somebody's going to get flipped. You know, so I'm of the thinking that it's better to flip them now than wait to flip them. So I don't necessarily think we need to make a trade. I don't think we need to, but I think they will. I think they will.
Okay, so then let's get to what players are out there right now in the league that you would want to see possibly in a Hawks jersey.
We can't get them, like you said. Anthony Davis. Can't get
him. Well, okay, let's exclude the superstar max contract player.
Gordon Hayward, he'll be available. Or Dragic, he'll be available.
I love Dragic. I think Dragic would be the perfect backup point guard to Trey. Amazing in the pick and roll. Like, dish it. He's not a selfish player. Led the league in scoring off the bench. I think he would be perfect in a Hawks jersey.
You're selling me on that. I don't know as much about Gordon Hayward. I just fear injuries with him.
Well, you fear injury with Gordon Dragic coming off plantar.
Yeah.
And that stuff lasts. Mm-hmm. That ain't something that just, oh, I had it one day and it just gone away the next. That can linger a bit.
Most of the cats that are going to be available are going to be a little bit older. You're talking about DeMar DeRozan's. I could be talked into a DeMar DeRozan. He does not fit what the Hawks necessarily do. He's not a three-point shooter at all. But in the fourth quarter, you know you're going to get buckets.
Gallinari? You want Danilo Gallinari?
Can he stay healthy?
Can he stay healthy?
I know who I want, but I don't think – it might be too soon. I want Joe Harris.
I think you can see Joe Harris.
Joe Harris?
That's who I want.
You know who I want? But and I've spoken on him before. He's the perfect age. Cost a lot. You know where I'm going with this.
He ain't going to be available.
No, I know he's not, but Brandon since we seen him having – who?
Brandon Ingram.
No.
KCP.
Bradley Beal.
Too much money.
I know.
Way too much money.
Because he's 26 or 27. Man. He's a shooter. He
Between
can take
him
the ball.
And Trey, that's 60 points given up in the backcourt every night. They ain't stopping. They can't stop a nosebleed between them two. But I don't know who would be able to stop them either, though. I
know it's not going to happen. But since we were having this conversation, and we had spoken on Bradley Beal before, that's a lot of money that he's been paid, and I don't think Washington is going to let him go.
Let me say this. You saw what John Wall and Bradley Beal are capable of doing. What makes you think that Trae Young and Bradley Beal are capable of doing more?
And Trae Young right now is cheaper.
Absolutely.
Because John Wall getting $500 million, and he ain't playing two
years. But you're right, though. But do you actually think that Trae and Beal will be able to do more than what Wall and Beal were able to do?
Well, the other thing is, what do they want? And they're not just going to let him walk out.
They want Cam.
The door. So they're going to gut you. And then, again, are you going to hurt yourself by trying to acquire certain players, or do you stay the course? I just don't think Bradley Beal is a star player. There's no question about it. We got our star player. What are the other pieces that make the Hawks a winner in the playoffs or competitive their first time in the playoffs? I think that's my mindset moving forward.
Joe Harris, that was a nice one that you brought up because, he's
a shooter.
We need a shooter. He's not the biggest star on the floor. You know, he'll be able to take the role well. I also agree with, like I said, the Dragon. Trey need a viable backup that can come in there and give you 20. And that's – but outside of those two, which I don't see what else you're going to do. And I'm not ready to give up on Cam, DeAndre, or Herter. I just see a whole lot more going down with those guys.
Let me ask you this, and I don't know – because he's opted out. I don't know if they're gonna re-sign him. What about somebody like Rondo?
Ooh, boy.
Would he come here? You talking about a guy, he plays on championship teams. He's cherry picking.
Right. Yeah. But he opted out to possibly get a little bit more money because I don't know if the Lakers – I think the Lakers would re-sign him, but he opted out to see what he can get.
I think that we would require too much out of Rondo at this point in his career. I think L.A. worked out good for him because he still wasn't really required to do that much because you have LeBron and A.D. to lean on.
So pivotal.
Man, Rondo is one of my favorite players ever.
He's one of mine, too.
I don't think there's a team in the NBA that Rondo could not impact positively.
Right.
I think you could – throw him on any jersey any given night of the week, and he will do work for that team.
And he would have amazing – I could see him mentoring Trae Young. He would have amazing impact on Trae Young.
I don't think he would want to. He doesn't have any reason to come to a team that's in the rebuilding process like the Hawks. I mean, he'll have calls from teams that are championship suitors, you know. So, right. But I would love it. I would absolutely love Rondo in Atlanta. That would be amazing.
Well, that'll do it for this episode of the Drop Ship Podcast. NBA draft, not too far off. They finished the bubble, and they got us a championship. We'll see what the steps to starting the next season will be and will be safely. So for Book the Hook, for Houston, for the B-Dog, Brandon Harper, I'm Home Team. See you next time on the Drop Ship Podcast.
We out.
Peace. Already. Hey, y'all, we got plenty of ways for y'all to check us out, so make sure that you go subscribe on either Apple Podcasts, Spotify, 680 The Fans, Podcast Park, Hype100Radio.net, which broadcasts Wednesdays at 9 p.m. and Saturdays at 8 a.m. Or even Shaq Fu Radio, which plays our podcast every Wednesday and Saturday night. You can also catch us on YouTube channels for the Drop Set Podcast, 680 The Fan, and Atlanta Sports X. And last but not least, make sure you check out the Drop Step on IG, Twitter, and Facebook.